ആത്മന്യതൃച്ഛയാ പ്രാപ്തം വിഭുഃ ശൂരപാദരേ. The Lord, who is the controller of all energies, thus creates, by His own potency, eternal time, the fate of all living entities, and their particular nature, for which they were created, and He again merges them independently. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a great honor to be here amongst all of you. I especially thank the Kirtan Guru for allowing me to come here and speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explains in one place, he says, the process of devotional service or bhakti yoga is the process of loving Krishna. Because to know Krishna, to know God, is very difficult. This purport itself is very difficult to understand with a tiny brain. You want to speak of understanding the whole, the expansive creation of the Lord, the ingredients, it's very difficult. But he says, by loving Krishna, by developing affectionate relationship to Krishna, then the knowing is also involved in that. Otherwise, trying to know Krishna is very difficult. I was telling you a very interesting story. It's a folk tale, but very authentic. When Lord Ram was getting married to Mother Sita, the marriage was done, means Lord Ram conquered that bow, and Sita came to offer him garland. And she came to offer garland to Lord Ram. It is explained that she was quite young. She was about 12 years old, and Ram was more than 20. So naturally Sita could not reach her hands to put the garland into the neck of the Lord. And she was trying very hard, but she was not able to reach. Now in the Kshatriya spirit, the other party cannot go down. We have to reach some other, it's your responsibility. But she was not able to do it. It was a very peculiar situation. Just imagine the marriage ceremony. She is not able to offer the garland. And Lakshmana, seeing this situation, he came down. And he did a very simple act. He bent down and he offered his obeisances to Lord Ram. And what did Lord Ram do? He bowed down to pick him up. And meanwhile, Sita plays the garland. So the Acharyas explain that in a living entity, here Mother Sita, who is Goddess of Fortune, the energy of the Lord, for the sake of learning a lesson, is compared to a living entity. And Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How a living entity can actually achieve the Supreme Lord is extremely difficult. Only when the spiritual master is the Vaya medium, he comes in the picture and makes it very easy for the living entity to actually understand the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore we see the whole process in this very canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto. From the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada explains there are 10 chapters in this canto, the second canto, and the process of liberation is explained. What is the process of liberation? Etat nirvidya manana ichita makuto bhayam. Yoginam nirpa nirvidyam harir nanam kevalam. That the process for being liberated from this material tabernacle is taking to the process of chanting Hare Krishna or chanting the holy names of the Lord. And that too, which is coming in the parampara, the disciplic succession. Yoginam nirpa nirvidyam. Who is decided? Not any time they can hurry, not any ordinary person. It has been decided by the great yogis in the line of parampara. So when that path is followed, the path of Mahajans, just like if you want to do Badrinath Yatra, or if you want to go to Gomuk, or if you want to go to Muktinath, it's an extremely difficult journey because the oxygen is less, And what to speak of, you know, the whole tyrant of land, the whole land of Badrinath is very scary if you're walking alone. Even if you're walking with five people, it still you feel, you know, scared. You need to have large number of people. And again, that you cannot have large number of people because the road is very small. One side there is a mountain, another side it's a valley. It's adventurous but very scary. And at the same time, you cannot find your own path. One has to follow the path which has been already traversed by hundreds of sadhus. Then it's much easier. He actually went to Badrinath, Muktinath, Gomukh with some young children. They were all strong, doing all gym every day, doing all kinds of exercise. And when they started walking in that path, they realized, actually you cannot walk because of your strong body. You can only walk because the Mahajans have made the road. Then you can go and see the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore here in this canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, the greatest of all the sages, by seeing Lord Brahma and understanding Brahmaji's contribution to this material world, was flabbergasted. He was very wonderstruck. Therefore he concluded, he thought that, my dear Lord Brahma, my dear Father, it seems that you are the creator, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I am wonderstruck that you are worshipping somebody else also. What is it? Who is that person? Can you explain to me? And Prabhupada explained, usually when someone does a very powerful task, there is a tendency to feel that I am God. Like one devotee was mentioning, the Maya philosophy says that everybody is God. When you challenge them, now how can everybody be God? How is it possible? Like when one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada's shelter, before that he was a sannyasi. And then he would stand on the road and move his fingers. And one devotee asked him, what are you doing? He said, I am controlling the sun. And in the evening I am going to control the moon also. By my direction, by my order, by my desire, the sun and the moon are moving. He actually was believing like that. Then he became bhakta, such and such Swami, and Prabhupada initiated into a das. So, the living entity has this tendency to think that if the Supreme Lord will achieve something, it is but natural. And what to speak about Brahma? Brahmaji's whole existence is made of intelligence. His whole existence is not made of gross matter. Of course, it is also material, but still perfect and high quality material. The entire existence is made of intelligence. Like Prabhupada told that story, that one yogi performed tapasya, he pleased Lord Brahma, but he asked a very unfortunate benediction. Lord Brahma said, what do you want? He said, I want to experience what kind of intelligence you have. Brahmaji says, that's very dangerous. My heart disk is much powerful. You will not be able to handle it. But he insisted, no, I want to see how much intelligence you have. And when he transferred his intelligence, this man was blown. He was dead. Because he couldn't handle it. So such Lord Brahma, in the beginning of the creation, when he was about to start the creation, he was bewildered. Seeing the ingredients, which were all undifferentiated ingredients, all the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, you know, then mind, intelligence and false ego, the time factor, the karma, everything was like a khichdi. Somebody offers you a khichdi which is blended in the mixture. You don't know what khichdi is made of. Is it rice or is it made of wheat? Or how much vegetable is there, what kind of vegetables are there. So all the material ingredients, when they are undifferentiated, and you have to, you know, you have to separate them. All the elements have to be separated and then have to, and the creation has to take place. It's a very difficult task. And the extent of this material manifestation is so limitless, naturally one will be bewildered. So Brahmaji was also bewildered. but he was honest about his bewilderment. To be wrong or to be having certain shortcomings, it is not a problem. The problem is that within our shortcomings, to pose that I am actually perfect is one of the biggest diseases of the conditioned soul. The disease of the condition is not that it is not perfect. A living entity can never be perfect. We were discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Mother Lakshmi came to the arena from the churning of the milk ocean, and she had to get someone, and she was looking, and she was screening all the demigods, all the demons, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And what was she realizing? What was she finding? That all these living entities, including the great demigods, have some imperfection. Nobody was complete, nobody was perfect. And eventually she came to Lord Narayana. Oh, here is this person who has no defects, he is completely perfect. And she placed that special garland in the neck of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, it is but natural that living entity is born with unlimited defects. But just his arrogance that he claims is that he is a controller. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? How is it possible? Therefore, our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada explains, Maya is there. Maya is controlling the living entities at all stages of life. Even after we become a devotee, what is the Maya for a devotee? To think that I am a great devotee. That I am an advanced devotee. Sometimes we see when devotees have some conflict, one of the trump card they use, I am a senior devotee. You understand? When I joined, I got initiated before you. That is Maya. That to say that I am a senior devotee, an advanced devotee, I need greater facilities, is Maya, to call oneself as a great devotee. So Maya is there at all stages of life. Even when in the Mahabharata, when Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrow, and Krishna brought all the Pandavas, and Bhagavatam explains, the Lord made the Pandavas dress gorgeously as possible. You don't do this when you are visiting someone who is sick, is about to leave his body. You know, you don't go gorgeously, decorating yourself, you know, using all the perfume, using best of your suits. You try to be as simple as possible, make the whole situation as sober as possible. We all experience at the departure of His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami Maharaj. It's a very sober situation. And Bhishma was about to put his body, but the Lord is ordering the Pandavas dress as gorgeously as possible. And he himself dressed gorgeously in his four-handed forms, in his opulent form, became the Bhishma. And Prabhupada explains the subtle point here. He says, because Bhishma always wanted to see the Pandavas ruling the kingdom. That would give satisfaction to Bhishma. Krishna understands the heart of the of his devotee. And when they came to Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev was about to speak the Raja Dharma, the Stri Dharma, the Artha Dharma, all kinds of knowledge was supposed to give to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Prabhupada told his story. Draupadi was laughing. She was laughing at Bhishmadev. How can he answer so many questions when he could not answer one question of mine? I asked him one question about, you know, is he valid, my husband, is he qualified, is he has the right to stake me in the gambling match? He was not able to answer that question. How could he answer this question? Not one question, hundreds of questions. So Bhishma Dev could understand that Draupadi is not very confident about me answering questions. And then he said, my dear daughter, all the contamination is gone. Your husband has done the surgery. Because of eating salt of Duryodhana, my mind was contaminated. Now Bhishma Dev is saying this. Who is he? He is one of the Mahajans. And he actually got confused. When Draupadi asked that question, it was not a question of philosophical discussion, it was a question of life and death. When someone comes to you asking for a shelter and they are about to face a greatest tragedy in their life, Draupadi did not come to ask a philosophical question. It was a question of her life and death. It was a question of her chastity. And that was challenged by the Kurus. Their point of view was that you are beautiful, your beauty should be seen by everybody. Why make such a fuss about it? And for Draupadi, and nobody was able to help her. All her past husbands. And when she approached Bhishma, as if it was a question, she was expecting that Bhishma will stop it. He will use his weapon, he would use his anger. But he got confused himself. And Krishna came, we hell with your question answers. Hell with your answers. All these technicalities, I don't care. He said, I need to protect Draupadi. That's what she was looking for. And nobody could do it. So how this happened? Bhishma himself says, because I was contaminated by eating a salt of Duryodhana. Therefore I was not able to answer. And therefore Prabhupada explains that the contamination is there for all the living entities. In the episode of Bhagirath bringing Mother Ganga to this earthly planet, she was hesitant to come here. She said, I cannot come. If I come to earthly planet, what will happen? All the people will come and take bath in my water and they will contaminate me. Who is Ganga? She is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. She purifies everybody. But she is so afraid of coming down and being bathed by contaminated people and getting contaminated. She said, I can't do this. And Bhagirath had to assure her that don't worry, when you come down, when the saintly people will take bath in your waters, they will purify. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, sometimes the spiritual master, when he has to accept unqualified disciples, their karma affects the spiritual master. Of course, but still, he takes the risk of saving the conditioned souls, giving them Krishna consciousness. So the point here is that all living entities, excluding, except the Supreme Personality of God, everybody has the potential of becoming Chuta. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I constantly pray to Krishna that I may not fall down. In fact, he contradicted transcendental way. When they were coming to a temple, they were in taxi. And Prabhupada said, Maya can never touch me. Nobody can boastfully say like that. Maya can never touch me. And when he came back to the temple, he was praying with the tears in his eyes. You know, that my dear Lord, please protect me from Maya. And they go to the shop. They said, Prabhupada, you say that Maya doesn't touch you, but how is that you are praying? He said, because I pray like this every moment, therefore I can say Maya can never touch me. Otherwise, Maya is always there to capture us. What is the Supreme Personality of God? Therefore, we can imagine how much Brahma had the power to be tempted. Narad Muni asking this question, who is asking Narad Muni? And Narad Muni had almost had the confidence that Brahma must be the Supreme Personality of God. He could have avoided the issue, yes, yes, I am the Supreme Lord. Just like when we go to school, for someone who is studying in kindergarten, his teacher is everything. Because the teacher is spending time with the child, the teacher is ordering, do like this, don't do like this, sit here, don't sit here, play like this. So all the facilities are coming from that teacher. For that small baby, he cannot understand the trust, he cannot understand the management, he cannot understand the school has changed of other schools. He cannot understand the CEO of the school. What does he understand? He only understands that my teacher. And gives all the credit, all the respect to that teacher. And that teacher may be very insignificant. So similarly, all the conditioned souls in this world are enamored by what they see in their surrounding. We become affected by our surrounding. Our circumstantial surrounding is so influential. We see how someone becomes an atheist or a theist. It is not based upon deep philosophical wisdom. Rather, it is a circumstance. That in my experience, my belief in God does not give me any results. So therefore God does not exist. If you ask anybody in this world why you don't believe in God, most of the time they would say, my experience is that it is not, you know, from evidence, it cannot be observed or cannot be seen. Or I had these experiences, therefore I don't believe in God. Such insignificant understanding of not accepting God. Similarly, accepting God also. Now, why do you believe in God? Because I was traveling here and there was an accident and I called, God please save me, and God saved me. Therefore, since then I believe in God. So this circumstantial faith of believing in God or not believing in God is what we are made of. And that's what here Brahmaji is explaining to Narad Muni, that how when the living entities are created in this world, the Lord is there with the Creator, but the living entity is there who has the influence of his previous life, the karma, the nature, the swabhava. Therefore in the very house, sometimes we see so many different kinds of varieties. Now children, now people don't have more than one child. But in India, you know, in China also, people still have so many kids. 10 children, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 14 brothers and sisters. He himself had 14 children. Large family. And then not everybody became a devotee. Advaita Acharya, the great incarnation of Mahavishnu, had 6 children. And 3 were great devotees, and Prabhupada writes, 3 were asaras, useless. Srila Prabhupada himself, one of his sons, unfortunately, was very intelligent, extremely intelligent, but he was against what his father did. One time a devotee asked, are you proud of your father? No, this is after he established the mission, he became worshipable deity for thousands of his followers. And then when he was asked that, are you proud of your father? He said, what is this? My father left my mother abruptly. That was his understanding. Of course, still, even with that understanding, he will get liberation. Because after all, he is connected to Srila Prabhupada. And what to speak of Lord Krishna? Lord Krishna, son of Narakasur. Naraka was born by the Lord through Bhumi Devi, and that's when Krishna went to fight Narakasura, he took Satyabhama. He came from the Lord, but what kind of consciousness he had? Because of the wrong association, he was defying the power of the Supreme Personality of God. This is the nature of the living entity. This is the predicament of the living entity. Therefore Prabhupada said, don't be surprised if somebody leaves Krishna consciousness. Somebody gives up Krishna consciousness. Be surprised if somebody stays practicing Krishna consciousness for the rest of his life. Therefore, someone who practices devotional life till the last breath, his life is glorious. Like we had Mahavishnu Maharaj. I remember hearing one story that one sadhu was there and he would sit and meditate in Himalayan mountains, long beard, long matted hair. And one young boy would tease him. He said, hey sadhu, is it your dadi, your beard, is the beard of a sadhu or a tail of an ass? Aapki dadi, sadhu ki dadi hai, gade ki pooch hai. And this sadhu would never answer his question. And he would maintain silence, walk peacefully from there. This went on happening for many, many years, and when the sadhu was about to quit his body, he called for one of his disciples. He said, call that young man. He used to teach me all the time. You call him. And the disciple called him. He said, you remember you used to ask me this question, that my beard was the beard of a sadhu or the tail of an ass? He said, now I can tell you, this beard is the beard of a sadhu. Why? He said, I could not guarantee I would continue the sadhu because Maya is very powerful. If I had not continued the practice of spirituality, my beard would have become a tail of an ass. So therefore, to someone to lead a life of purity till the end of his life and gloriously depart, most of the people in this Kali Yuga cannot be conscious when they are departing from this world.
Even when they are conscious, they are not conscious.
No, when they are conscious, they are not conscious.
What to speak of being conscious? And to be conscious of Krishna is the greatest reward for all the devotional service somebody has rendered.
We get to see, because you know we are connected to a hospital in Bombay. So many devotees tell the stories, those who are doctors, how people fit their body.
It is not that they cannot be conscious. One is their bodily disease and second their absorption.
One devotee would tell a story, he was a doctor, that one lady was in the hospital and this doctor was taking care of her. And the last moment came for her to depart. The doctor realized that she is going to quit her body. And this doctor thought, this was not in our hospital, some other hospital. And this devotee was trying to help her. He said, now she is quitting her body. At least at that last part of her life, if I can chant and ask her to chant the holy name. You know, went to her right ear and said, he told her name, he said her name. He said, Hare Krishna bolo, Bhagwan ka naam lo. No response. He tried thrice. No response. He closed all the windows because the other doctors should not call him a fool. Loudly chanted. No response. Then he went to the other side of the body, to the left ear. Said the same thing. Hare Krishna bolo, Bhagwan ka naam lo. But this lady was not at all responding. And after some time she called the doctor. He said, you know what? He said, she said the number of her daughter. Ye mera beti ka phone number hai, usko bula. Just see, she had the power to remember the phone number. I still can't make out how people can remember phone numbers. And she's about to die and she's remembering the phone number, but she was not able to respond to chant the holy names of the Lord. It is not very easy to remember Krishna. Even with all the support, one's consciousness is dragged to some other place. As for this day. But it is very fortunate, as we saw, that Mahavishnu Maharaj was surrounded by his dear disciples. And he was totally conscious. It was the day of Ramanujacharya's disappearance day. And someone from Velukote, you know, brings a garland, some cloth, and offers it to him as Mahaprasad, and devotees are chanting the holy names of the Lord. He is holding the hands of his dear devotees, you know, murmuring the holy name, and he quits his body. And proving the principle that wherever devotee lives his body, in Krishna consciousness, it is not different from Vrindavan. Like once time Ramanujacharya's great teacher Mahapurna, he went to defend the Vaishnava Sampradaya against one fanatical king. And the king was so fanatical that he could not see that these are elderly people, they can't do anything. He plucked out their eyes, Puresh and Mahapurna. And Mahapurna, you know, they were walking towards Rangakshetra, but in the middle, Mahapurna realized that I can't make it. And he told his followers that I am going to quit my body here. And his disciples, they said, my dear spiritual master, why you want to quit here? Why can't you proceed to Rangakshetra? That is the holy place of the Lord. That is the best place to quit your body. And Mahapurna said, I do not want to create an illusion in the heart of people. What is that? That quitting one's body in the holy dham is as important as quitting one's body surrounded by loving devotees. He said, I have to establish this principle. And he had his daughter, great devotee, and he had another disciple. He said, the lack of a disciple, a lack of a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, he said, it is not different from the holy place. And while remembering his spiritual master, Yamunacharya, while remembering his disciple, who was very glorious in the estimation of everybody, and while remembering the holy names of Lord Rangana, he quit his body. That's a very luxurious departure. One could aspire for to depart anta kale cha mamava smaran mukva kale varam ye prati samadbhava yati nastati samshe. Krishna gives this insurance that anyone who remembers Krishna at the time of death consciously, not like, you know, in the Ramayana we see sometimes there is a confusion that Marich, the great demon,
when he was approached by Ravana, he said, you go and disguise yourself as a deer. I want you to trick Mother Sita so that Lord Ram can chase you and I can kidnap her. And Manish tried to convince him. He said, you fool, Ravana. He said, which enemy has told you to come here and try to destroy yourself? He said, you know what Ram is? You know what Ram is? You know who Ram is? He said, it's so powerful, I've personally experienced the power of Lord Ram. Twice, not once. And since then, anything begins with R, I cannot say anything other than Ram. He said, therefore, don't try to play around with Ram. And actually, Ravana was convinced. He went back. He went back. But then Shripunaka, she had a better option, she was more powerful. She comes and slaps Ravana. She condemns him. He said, what kind of king are you? Enjoy sense gratification. Your life is fully within sense gratification. That's what she wanted. No, she is condemning Ravana. You are useless king. You are worse than a rope and a soil. A rope and soil can be used in the service, but a king who does not have the power is useless in that. Right in assembly of all the ministers, she chastised her brother and he was able to handle it. He didn't become angry. She said, put your right foot and go and get Mother Sita. Otherwise your life is waste. When he comes back, approaches Marich and he convinces Marich. And Marich made a wrong conclusion. He thought it is better to die in the hands of Ram than in the hands of Ravana. And what was he doing? He was serving Ravana and causing inconvenience to Lord Ram. He was remembering Ram, no doubt. But what kind of Ram was that? That Ram was not beautiful, loving Ram, but that Ram was, he says that, I feel this Ram is none other than Yamaraj. He is the personification of death. Wherever I move, I see Lord Ram holding his bow and arrow. So when Marich went to perform this horrible task of trying to trick Mother Sita, and when Ram shot an arrow, what was he doing? He could have said, okay, let me chant Ram's name. But you are still thinking of serving Ravana. Because Ravana had told him, when Ram shoots you, what you are supposed to do? Loudly call out the name of Hey Sita, Hey Lakshman. He was very conscious of doing it, and he did it. And by that sound, Lakshman was separated from Mother Sita and Sita was kidnapped. This is not devotee's consciousness. A devotee of the Lord never puts Lord into an inconvenient situation. And Maharaj did that. Therefore the Acharyas explained that you died in the hands of Ram, but you are remembering whom? Service to Ravana. On the other hand, Jatayu, he died in the hands of Ravana while fully conscious of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore the departure of a devotee, you know, much glorious, like Mahavishnu Maharaj, Gaurav Maharaj, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, we have experienced so many devotees in our ISKCON society. They left their body. But how did they leave their body? Conscious of their spiritual master, conscious of Krishna, surrounded by devotees, positively thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking of rendering so much of service to the Lord. This departure is extremely glorious. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, how does it begin? Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the appearance of the Lord on the chariot of Arjuna. Our Bhurijan Prabhu was explaining. He said, when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, especially when Krishna riding on the chariot of Arjuna, what does that indicate? That indicates Krishna's protective energy, Krishna's protective consciousness, that I need to protect my devotee. Krishna riding on the chariot of Arjuna is nothing but I am here to protect you. I am here to give you assurance. I am here to make your situation as practical and as easy as possible to achieve perfection. Like one devotee says, the principle of avatar, Lord coming to this material world. What is this concept? Now why does Lord come here? He was explaining Just like if you go to a small town or a big town or a city like Singapore, you come from India. Yesterday I saw one Indian man was asking for some people, where is the way? And I want to go to this place. He couldn't help because we didn't know. So he was quite bewildered. So in that condition, if someone, when if you ask someone, he says, okay, sit in my car. And he takes you to the place where you want to go. And he drops you. You are only expecting him to give us direction, okay, go from this road, take a right turn, then walk again 4 blocks, then go next side, you know, next block, then you'll find your place. You are expecting that. But someone drives you in his car, brings you to that place, and knocks onto the door, and he says, look, here your guest has come, and please, you know, be courteous to him. You keep looking at him. What kind of person is this? Such a nice person. So we have come to this material world, it's like a Singapore or any other big city, and we have lost in this world, looking here, looking there, running this place, running that place, achieving so many material bodies, sometimes king, sometimes beggar, kabu raja, kabu praja, kabu kida, kabu indra. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that in this world we are going around in so many species of life, looking for that direction, looking for that place for happiness. But nobody is guiding us. So then Krishna, in desperation, he takes avatar. He comes in his different forms. And what does he do? He holds our hand. He says, my dear child, you have lost your way. He grabs our hand and walks us to the spiritual world. He brings us there inside. First he allows us to go inside his house. And he says, this is your place. So how can someone not glorify such personality? How can one not glorify and worship such personality? That is the nature of the Supreme Personality of God. Yesterday, Devkinandan Guru and we were discussing. He told a very nice story which was spoken by Mahavishnu Maharaj. When Lord Ram coronated Vibhishan as the king, Ramayana actually explains that Ram coronated Vibhishan even before killing Ravan, even before building the bridge, even before sending the army to Lanka. He coronated him. He said he be the king. And then, actually, another explanation is given why he coronated, because he was thinking, I cannot go to the city. I cannot go to the city, but I want to see Vibhishan being coronated as the king. So Lakshman therefore, bring the water, let me coronate him. And he coronated him. Lakshman asked him, right? Lakshman asked Ram, my dear Lord, Vibhishan has surrendered to you made him the king. What if Ravan surrendered, then what will you do? He made him the king of Lanka, but if Ravan surrenders to you, what will you do with him? He said, I'll make him king of Ayodhya. That is the nature of the Supreme Personality of God. He is not interested in ruling. Therefore Krishna, when he came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Dwapar Yuga, he had experienced what happens if you want to be a king in Treta Yuga. So much of distress. He said, I don't want to be the king. He made Ugrasena the king. When he killed Jarasandha Bhima, he made his son as the king. He never took the position of any king. He always remained a servant of his devotees. So therefore, when we understand this principle of Krishna consciousness, then the technical stuff, if we have the tendency, if we have the disposition of studying Shastra as technically as possible, that facility is there. But if someone does not have the ability to understand, it is not a shortcoming in one's life. The elements, Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhadi explains, you know, there are so many kinds of fires. Now I say, what? Only one fire. I see a fire. But there are 50 varieties of fire. Air, or water, fire, air, ether. In Vedas, Udaka Tattva, the water principle, is explained in such a great detail. You know, to understand water, what kind of water, what does water do, what kind of principle water establishes, the limitless explanations are given. The mind, the function of the mind, the function of the intelligence, the function of the false ego. You know, such a great detailed science explained in all the Vedic literature, and the Bhagavatam as the Purana has to follow the principle of the ten, you know, the sarga and visarga, and then, you know, the ten principles, it has to go through. So therefore Sri Sukadeva Goswami very briefly explains to Parikshit Maharaj. Even that is very confusing for us. But one has to go through, as Prabhupada explains in the second cant of the Bhagavatam, one of the serious students of Krishna consciousness as a matter of discipline has to go, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I think this was the main teachings of Mahavishnu Maharaj, always telling devotees to study Srimad Bhagavatam. I remember when he came first time to our temple in 1994 at somebody's house, so many of Brahmacharis were sitting, and he said, "You should all get married." It's a very shocking statement from a sannyasi to a Brahmachari, that you should get married. And everybody was there looking at each other, and he said, "You should get married to Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to marry, there is no other choice of not getting married." He said, "You have to get married, but get married to Srimad Bhagavatam. When you get married to Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? So the Supreme Lord becomes your husband. And we as the Prakriti, you may become affected by the Lord. Bhagavatam is not there for us to conquer it." Burijan was explaining once, he said, "The Bhagavatam is not there where you become master of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather, the Bhagavatam is there to dominate your consciousness. We want Bhagavat to dominate our consciousness, where we become helpless. That we become so attracted by the Srimad Bhagavatam, we become so attracted by the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramayana, that our consciousness is dominated by the scriptures. Otherwise, the living entity, as we were discussing, the tendency of a living entity is to want that he wants to dominate, lord over the material nature. And the last layer of Maya is that he thinks that I am God, I am the Supreme Person." Like in the Mahabharata, a very interesting story, I always tell this story, I like this story, when Ashwatthama, when he came to Krishna, Krishna told a story to Arjuna. When they were chasing after Ashwatthama, Krishna told, "You know what, Arjuna, this Ashwatthama came to me to one place, one time to Dwarka, and he asked for Sudarshan Chakra from me. You know what, Balram has never asked Sudarshan Chakra for me. My son Pradyumna never asked, and you never asked Sudarshan Chakra from me. But this man, a son of a Brahmana, came to me asking for Sudarshan Chakra. I said, why you want Sudarshan Chakra? In the first place he bargained. He said, you give me your Sudarshan Chakra and take my Brahmastra. Krishna said, I don't need a bargain, I give you Sudarshan Chakra. You take it." And Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra, and Ashwatthama tried to hold that chakra. But how can he handle Sudarshan Chakra? It is not ordinary. It is so powerful. It's a divine weapon of the Lord. Surya Koti Samaprabha. The power of that Sudarshan Chakra is much greater than the millions of suns. But he tried with his physical power, he was not able to handle it. And he said, "I don't need, I am satisfied with my Brahmastra." So Krishna asked Ashwatthama, he said, "My dear Ashwatthama, why you wanted Sudarshan Chakra?" He said, "To kill you. Just see," he said, "to kill you, to harm you." So similarly, the living entity takes the Shastra, which is given by Krishna, Sudarshan, the weapon of the Lord, or the Shastra of the Lord. Shastra and Shastra, they come from the same principle. They are there to remove the ignorance. When the conditioned soul is very stubborn, not wanting to listen, then Krishna uses his weapon. When the conditioned soul is willing to listen, then Krishna uses his Shastra. For Bhishma, apparently Krishna used Shastra, and for Arjuna he used Shastra. And both have the power to eliminate. So the living entity take Krishna Shastra, use Krishna scripture, use Bhagavad Gita, and what they try to do, they try to kill Krishna. One time in one place in Maharashtra, there was a Gita conference, and Prabhupada came for that Gita conference. Gita conference of Krishna is not there. He said, what is this? Where is Krishna's picture? There was only one lamp was there, but nothing else. And the organizer said, Swamiji, our interest is only in Gita, but not the speaker of Gita. That's a wrong statement to say in front of Prabhupada. And he made that statement. And Prabhupada became like Parshuram. He said, blasting that person. He said, this is demonic. You want Krishna's energy, which is Gita, but you don't want Krishna. You are not interested in Krishna. The whole purpose of Gita is to understand Krishna. Otherwise, what is that? It is not Gita. So this tendency of being Ashwatthama is there in all the living entities. And Narada Muni was tempting Brahmaji. But Brahmaji was being a very sincere student of Krishna. He was not tempted. He said, my dear Narada, I see the power of Lord's illusory energy. It is not surprising that you are calling me God. And then Brahmaji explained the whole phenomena of the material creation. That's what the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It begins with Parikshit Maharaj's desire to hear. And then Saurakadi Rishis wanted to hear about this. Which Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. And when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, how Shukadeva Goswami offers prayers? We ask, my dear Lord, please help me to decorate my words with your glories. The sections. There are series of verses wherein Shukadeva Goswami glorifies. And one verse says, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulukusha Vira Shumva Yavanatha Sadaya Yanya Chipapa Yadapada Pashaya Tasmai Sri Prabha Vishnavaya Namaha. He said, all class of people, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulukusha, all such class of people, those who experience the power of Prabha Vishnu, the great Vishnu, the great Lord, whatever background they may have, they will all be delivered. They will achieve the highest Vaikuntha planet. I pray to such Vishnu that he may give me the power, he may give me the ability to glorify Vishnu. So this is how Parikshit Maharaj was hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, who was so humble. No, even though he was the highest of Hamsas, the Paramhamsas, his consciousness was so humble, praying, and then he presents the whole section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Bhagavatam is our savior. The holy name is our savior. Devotee is our savior. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he spoke to Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, on the Dashashvamedha Ghat, the principles of devotional service for 10 days. And he kept on saying about these 5 limbs of devotional service. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord, hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, visiting the holy place, associating with devotees, and worshipping the deities. When we practice these 5 limbs of devotional service, Mahaprabhu told that even if someone who does not have faith, but some or other he executes these 5 limbs of devotional service, such a personality will achieve bhava bhakti. Means there will be a natural taste for loving Krishna. Whether with imitation we practice this process or with substance we practice. With substance we practice, the result comes faster. With imitation we do it, that will also help. Because this is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, by following the path of devotional service given by the previous acharyas and distributed all over the world by Srila Prabhupada, we practice, then the understanding of the complicated material creation becomes very easy. Why? Because we begin with the substance. We try to love Krishna, and in loving Krishna, knowing also is included. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Any comments or any questions?
Thank you very much for...